World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, just want to make it clear that we're a mask-free zone here. Now, if you don't like what we're going to talk about here, I'll just put this in front of me, and then you won't have to look at me, all right? Man, oh, man, excited you'd all join us here today. We got old Russ Dizdar in with us today. We're excited. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time because whenever we have Russ on, we never have enough time with Russ. So let me just point out a couple things here real quickly before we get rolling. Number one, Chad's event is this weekend. And if you haven't signed up, Chad, can anybody sign up this weekend, Chad? Are you in here this morning? I should have checked the list, see if you're in there.
Yeah, I'm in here. No.
No show-ups. No show-ups, right, Chad?
That's it. No.
How many guys we got coming there at the Embattled Warriors Special Ops Training?
I have a 47 in attendance.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to be awesome. 47.
A lot of women.
A lot of women. Right. You said that earlier, Chad. You may have drawn some more men. So 47 of us going to be down in Moody, Texas this weekend for a Embattled Warrior training. Looking forward to that. We got a lot of events on our website. I'm not going to jump on there. You know the Russ Dizdar event coming up the 24th and the 25th. David Arthur, I got to tip my hat. Folks, I sent a check yesterday to the car dealer, Jeff Klein, for the entire cost of David Arthur's car. I want to thank all of you. And for those of you who sent checks and they haven't arrived yet, just trust us that we'll apply them to David, or we'll put them in some type of fund for the next emergency that pops up. It's an amazing, amazing thing that we raised as of yesterday in 3 days. This little podunk show was able to raise in the neighborhood of $7,500 to be able to buy David Arthur a brand new car. Well, not a brand new, but a used car. So thanks to all of you guys who chipped in and did it. And we'll talk more about that later on. I want to get Russ in here. I don't want to mess around. And, you know, we used to have Russ semi-regularly join us, and we just kind of got away from it because Russ is a busy guy. He's doing his website's up on the screen right now, shatterthedarkness.net. And Russ, last time I spoke to Russ, sat down, had lunch with Russ. He's talking about how, you know, his ministry is just exploding. It's exploding for two reasons, maybe three reasons. Number one, the devil's coming out of hiding. he's becoming more bold than he's ever been. And number two, people are noticing it and becoming more aware of the spiritual realm, but they don't really know what to do. And I'll never forget what Russ told me when we organized this event coming up on the 24th and the 25th. Russ said, Coach, I need to train more people. I can't get to all these. And Russ has got a team, Tom Dunn, you know, Tom Dunn's part of it. And so Russ said, you guys organize the event. I'll bring the people and we'll make it happen because we need to train others to do what it is that we do. Now look, folks, this may be hard for you to believe. Russ Dizdar may have a gift of demonology or dealing with demons, but it's the Holy Spirit that does it. It's not Russ Dizdar. This ain't rocket science. There are steps that have to be followed, and Russ is going to break some of that down for us maybe here today. But that's what our event is about. Spencer, if you could shoot that. Well, just click on Russ's picture there and show where people can go to register still to be part. And we can live stream video on demand if you can't make it, folks. So for $30, you've got over a month to be able to watch this thing. So I promised my wife this morning, Russ, that I wouldn't talk too much. She said, if you're going to have Russ on, you shut up. So that tells what she knows. Now, folks, give Russ a break. He's been up all night. He was on with John B. Wells last night on Caravan to Midnight, and then he said he worked on some books and some other stuff. And at some point you say, well, I might as well not go to bed now. I got to get up here in a couple hours. So Russ is, although he's not running on empty, he's probably running on some fumes. So, hey, Russ, just come on. God bless you, man. Thanks for spending this time with us. And explain to the people what I just explained you told me, that we need people trained.
Well, there's no question. I think Dwight L. Moody said, you know, he'd rather put 10 people to work than to do the work of 10 men. So, you know, with us, the reality is simply there are more demonized people, more oppressed people, more possessed people, more practitioners, more wounded people, more victims of all kinds of things than ever in history, I believe. And I think it's going to get far worse. So, I don't mind being busy and doing the work. The issue is, of the hundreds and hundreds of emails, I can't respond to everybody. Last week we had folks fly in from New York, New Jersey area, and we spent Friday evening and all day Saturday in dealing with the deliverance and her healing and so forth. We're going to be gone this weekend. We're going to be on the field, and then next weekend I'll be having another couple fly in. Same issue, satanic ritual abuse, things like that. And then we're coming to see you. Then I'm taking a team. Our team will be going to Boston. Our team will be going to Erie. There's just too many. And I've had to tell people on the radio again and again, because when you do bring this up, when I bring this up worldwide to individuals, we have people from just simply everywhere that are begging for help. So when I told John B. Wells last night, he asked, how many victims of satanic ritual abuse? And I know this is going to sound fantastic. I'll try to explain this at the conference. On a global scale, probably 130 million in five generations, from five-year-old all the way up to 72-year-olds when it began. So you got to deal with satanic ritual abuse. That's larger and broader than human trafficking. It involved both of them. You know, it's human trafficking. But and we say, and I have it written on a T-shirt, one individual, one abortion, one pedophile raped little boy or girl, or one satanically ritually abused individual is just too many. But when you talk about millions in all those categories, we're talking Holocaust, we're talking atrocities. So I believe that if we could think and see 10 million believers fierce, we threw up a website called 10millionfierce.com. And the influence that we want to bring is simply, and here's part of it, the vast need. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. The yes. field is white. There's no question about that. The other side of the story is, I know, you know, when we, salvation is so great, so big, so wide, so broad. This salvation that we have involves that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That means the soul winning side of things, the prayers that bring great miracles and move mountains. That means doing, you know, seeing healing. That means deliverance issues and building, you know, engaging people, and obviously involving discipleship, equipping the saints. Now, if we did it the way Jesus taught, then, and here I think you'll agree with this, 90% of believers everywhere have never led a soul to Jesus, never led somebody to Christ. 95% don't understand the authority. They wouldn't know how to deal with the manifesting demon as far as, and other than calling somebody. Call Coach. Yeah. I'm going to put your phone number out there.
Yeah, call Tom Dunn. Call Russ.
Right.
Hey, Russ, I get those emails, right? I get those emails as well. Hey, can you connect me to Russ?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so, and again, that's part of the burden I feel. I have to apologize on the radio. Many times I just tell folks, I'm sorry. You know, I gave up last year alone, 2,000 emails went by that I was behind 2,000. And even when we've tried to put, I farm, like, certain, you know, people write in and they say they have this need or that need, please help. I'll send it to Ryan. I'll send it to Kyle. I'll send it to Jody. I'll send it to Sherry. Some of our team members, I send that out to, and then they will work and they will deal with that. But I mean, I've always known this. When I was in Youth for Christ, when I was a local pastor, equipping the saints and deploying them on the field, I'm used to that. Training individuals, taking them out to certain areas, teaching them. If a person is a believer in Jesus, and if they're filled with the Spirit of God, if they're going to be filled with the Word of God, and they're going to step out and begin to do things, that becomes the experiential side. And when we begin to do that, the reality is we become very experienced, become very competent. I'm going to be very frank. There's no Captain Fantastic here. Okay, I'm going to make this clear. I can see an 18-year-old born again, spirit-filled young Christian. You know, let them appropriate the authority. And if a demon manifested, I would turn to them and I would say, cast that thing out of here, expel that demon out of them. Because it should be the other way around. If 90% of believers were leading others to Jesus, if 90% of believers really knew how to pray with power and see answers, if 90% of the believers were really involved, we would not have seen this godless satanic election go the way that it did. Mm. We wouldn't see millions being aborted and celebrated. We wouldn't see Representative Warren up there in Massachusetts screaming out that abortion is no different than getting your tonsils out. What kind of idiocy is that? So there's a side of us that as citizens, even as believers, we want to impact the culture that we're living in. Now, as bad as I'm going to share at the conference, and that's what I'm going to do Friday night, I'm going to share what I've found in the underground, the way I see it, 6 billion people worldwide or more already caught up in satanic, you know, you think of the New Age movement, Islam, Hinduism, pantheism, all the witchcraft, all the druidism. When you add all this up together, you're talking billions of individuals that are already sucked into and engaging spirits in some way. There's more practitioners that know how to summon demons and for themselves, and then also to send them and do things. If you think go ahead.
It's like playing a guitar, right, Russ? I mean, you show me a few chords, and if I practice those chords, I'm going to eventually be able to get a song out of it, right?
Right.
So the dealing with the spiritual realm is no more than that. Somebody teaches you the chords, and you practice, and you get better at it.
Yeah, Mark 16:20, when the disciples, you know, they had been with Jesus, they've seen things, they're clothed in power of the Holy Spirit, they launch out, and they begin to do it. I mean, everybody has to start at square one. There was the first day that every one of those apostles or second-generation believers, there was a day in which they all had the first time they led somebody to the Lord. First day they ever dealt with healing. First day they ever dealt with a demon. So that's the reality. And here's what I know in training people and over all these years, that once any believer begins to do this and do it again and again, everything Jesus said about the Spirit of God guiding you, leading you, the power, the expressed power of the Spirit of God, directing you this way, empowering you here, let alone the fact, Coach, there's great joy in leading people to Jesus. There's great joy in seeing healing in lives. There's great joy in casting demons out of people and seeing an entire change and seeing the triumph of Jesus, all that he came for. Colossians 2:15, that he came to make a public spectacle of the principalities and powers and triumph over them.
You know, Russell, let me throw this out, because it just came to me as you were saying that. This whole idea, Russ, as soon as you begin to read about Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospels, they're talking about casting out devils. Russ, would that be because during that time, the first century Rome, they were aware of the demonic? They understood it? What would be your response to that?
Good, sure. Yeah, matter of fact, when you read the book of Acts, 30-year history of the early church, there was no secular people. They all were into something. In Rome alone, there was Bacchus, the blood cults, and all that kind of stuff. Diana, you've got all of that around. You got to remember the Old Testament or the New Testament, there was no authority given for believers to deal with demons like this.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite different in the Old Testament. So when Jesus shows up, just his very presence forced the manifestation of demons that were in people, and then he ordered them. And you'll notice how it says in the Gospel of Mark, the people were amazed. He not only taught with authority, he gave orders to spirits and they left. So that's the amazing thing. He came to triumph. We got to realize the fall of the human race, we the human race stupidly opened the door to the dark side. We need to know biblically the dark side involves Satan. We're talking billions. There's more demons and fallen angels than there are people. We've got to understand the biblical. Listen, I can read 1,000 books, and I have, and more, and research whatever I want to research, but it's the scripture. The scripture has the infallible, definitive insight to all of this, and that's what we need to go by. And the fact is, anybody who's out soul winning, anybody that's out evangelizing, you're going to run into demonized people. You're going to eventually, and here's what I'll say about satanic ritual abuse, because that's the closest thing I know of to the gates of hell. They are at the bottom rung of all the other stuff that's going on, far deeper than the deep state. That's where the real powers are, the real Eyes Wide Shut, the real Luciferians are. I've been working with satanic ritually abused people for 40, believe it or not, I know I'm 190 years old now, but I've been working with them for 40 years.
Let me stop you right there. Just in a nutshell, because we get new listeners all the time like you do, Russ. What do you mean by satanic ritually abused? What does that mean, Russ?
It means an individual that was birthed into a satanic coven system, which would include high levels of trauma, demonization, to cause their personality to be split. The trauma is so bad, so heavy, that they purposely split this personality, that personality, this personality. Then they impose programming. Then they release demons into the individual. So you've got boys and girls, by the time they're six, they've been through dozens of satanic rituals, sex rituals, perverted rituals. They have tasted blood. They have seen blood. They have seen animal sacrifice. And I would say that every one of them have seen a human sacrifice.
And so as a result of that then, Russ, they began to get what we used to call split multi-personalities. Whatever. Sure. Sybil, right? Everybody remembers Sybil.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know whether she was satanically, ritually abused, but something was done to Sybil to create all of these alternative personalities.
Right.
You're telling us that this is part of the demonization of America, and this is actually going on, child trafficking. Maybe in homes we don't even realize this kind of thing's going on.
Yeah, I mean, here's, and I've been, right now I'm doing an update. The book I wrote, Black Awakening, is 12 years old or so, but it's still at the very edge of telling about all this stuff. There's new books out, there's victims writing. I told George Norrie when somebody called in, there's 10 million people listening, and, I thought this was, all over with, it was satanic panic. What is the proof of satanic ritual abuse? My first answer is the victims, the sheer numbers. When I was in Scotland, when I was in France, when I was in Geneva, when I was in Germany, even in Himmler's castle or Canada, here's what we need to understand. The phenomena that began in the late 40s, early 50s worldwide continue to build and build and build. We have now, as I said, five generations, anywhere from 74 all the way down to five-year-olds who've been brought into these coven systems, and it's again a global. You can call it the Illuminati. I call it the real Luciferians, because they really believe Satan is the light bearer. They believe that Satan is the good guy. They believe that he's going to be the one to come and bring evolution to humanity. So when you and I talk about the New World Order or the globalists, we're talking about the elitists that are behind the creation of these individuals. There's a reason why they're here. It's not just the satanic rituals. And obviously, many of them have also been trafficked and used to make money, as in human trafficking. So it's all horrific. Again, I'm going to say again, I've sat before hundreds of satanic ritually abused individuals over 40 years, spending thousands and thousands of hours. Now, in the United States, everybody knows in psychology, when they finally came up with the DSM-3, the diagnostic manual for all of psychology, they recognized, and they called it multiple personality.
Right.
Now they call it DID, dissociative identity disorder. Now the problem is the secular system of psychiatry has no ability. They know about the satanic claims. They know about what these people are coming in and claiming all these things that occurred to them. They're trying to integrate personalities, little personalities, others inside. But the problem is, what about the personalities trained to be assassins and shooters? What about the personalities that are trained to come to the churches and target the pastor and release satanic powers and rituals against the pastor?
Ray, is it possible that right now there's In the queue alone, there's 101 of us in here right now, Russ. Is there a possibility that there's some people right here in the queue who are SRA, satanic, ritually abused, and not even aware of it?
Well, if I was a betting person, I'd throw up the money right now and I would win. I would say yes. There's just like on John B. Wells. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just going to happen. I mean, even right now on my own radio program, I'm doing an update. I've done 8. I'm going to end up doing 20 on an update on SRA, explaining. And I got like 19 pages of notes. Anybody can go backwards and get what we're doing. I've got a 20, you know, 10 and I think 11 years ago, I put up the Black Awakening audios. Those were the lectures, and they're still up there, being downloaded by the hundreds of thousands worldwide.
Free.
Yeah, they're free. It's all free, yeah. And there's also Freedom Encounters, which is the basic how to bring healing to these individuals. So when you have a human being that has been so traumatized, so lied to, so threatened, so punished, so split in their personalities and broken, and then demonized, subjected, and threatened that if they ever go out of that system – they would either be killed, their family be killed, things like that. When you have, it's one thing if there's just one or two or three or four. Now, please understand, I'm committed to I'm going to evangelize anybody I can. I'm going to follow the Great Commission on that level. I do have a target in this area for whatever reason, as I felt, you know, led to go in this direction, and engage this issue. You don't need. I mean, when Jesus said in Luke 10, "I have given you authority to tread, to trample, to destroy, you know, snakes and scorpions," that's figures for demonic presence, "to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." So when Jesus gave us that, there's a mission with that too. And I'm going to say again, that's just as you're mentioning in your opening, you know, everything you say in your opening is absolutely correct. You got to remember, I was a local pastor also for 30 years. Anything I'm teaching now, I taught in the local church. Now, many churches wouldn't allow me to do some things and say some things, but I'm going to tell you right now, the church in America as a whole, it's worse in Europe. It's worse in Scotland when I was there. The church in America is subnormal. We have to reckon with this. Sardis in the book of Revelation, Sardis, that was a subnormal church. It was once alive, it became dead. It no longer did the works of Jesus. And there was a way out of that, but I'm going to tell you right now, let's just say every statistical thing I've looked at right now tells us, if you look up right now, how many Christians are there in America? You're going to find websites, you're going to find every kind of... They're going to say 150 million Christians.
Right.
Well, we know that's not true as far as born again, knowing Jesus personally. Let's say there's only 50 million that really are, I don't know how many for sure, God knows. But if there's 50 million born again believers, if they're going to be take up the cross, deny self and follow Jesus and go forward and obey the word of God, they will become stronger just by obedience to the word and learning the word of God. You become stronger. You get close to the Lord. Jesus said we're going to be clothed with power from on high. That power is to be a witness. We're commanded to go to every single creature, every single individual. We read about the astonishing things in prayer that was done in the book of Acts. We read Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond everything we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So here's what I want to say. Most churches, the one I went to last week that were a new church we're going to that I really like, and I like the pastor, and there's a lot of good things. There was probably 12 seconds of prayer. None of which was intercession for the lost.
Warfare.
None of which,
no warfare.
Yeah, no warfare prayer. And I'm going to say that the church is so subnormal that subnormal has become normal.
Amen.
The subnormal church, when it becomes normal, like Sardis, they within themselves, they had no way out of it. It has to be an intervention. That's why revivals come. That's all a revival is, to take the people of God, shake them out of the stupidity of the world, the flesh, and the devil, shake them out of being a spectator, shake them out of being silenced, shake them out of being subjected, and turn them into the powerful, bold as a lion believers they should be. and can be. And it's more fun, and there's more joy in it. There's peace like a river in it. There, you know, God is going to be all over any believer that wants everything we're talking about, everything Jesus talked about. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. They're just simply the same.
So, folks, so listen, let me jump in it, Russ. Yep. God, this is so good. I'm going to open it up, and we're going to do just kind of a rapid fire. I know that you would probably... if you were, folks, listen, everything on Russ Dizdar's website is free. All the training is there. It is. But we are offering an in-person training session with Russ Dizdar. Throw it up there, CoachDaveLive.com. Throw it up there for us real quick, Spencer, if you could. And not just Russ. Russ is bringing his team because they want to do hands-on training for you to understand how to deal with the demonic. Maybe not getting in and doing what Russ is doing and going deep into SRAs and all that stuff, but just what if you are a parent of an adopted child or a child that's been in some type of children's services for an extended period of time and just dealing with things and you can't figure out what the heck is going on here? It could be a spiritual issue, and we should know how to do that. Well, we know this. Child psychologists aren't going to tell us this. The local doctor isn't going to understand spiritual issues. And Russ Dizdar and his team are coming on the 24th and 25th right here in Central Ohio. And they're going to do a 9-hour, an extensive 3 hours on Friday night, 3 hours Saturday morning, 3 hours Saturday afternoon on training you how to do it. Mm-hmm. That's what we need, isn't it, Russ? You need some help.
Sure. What if we could put, what if in the United States alone, here's what I would say. If we could put 10 million believers and they could be like Philip in Acts chapter 8, that's our design. That's the great big example. A second generation young believer, Acts chapter 8. Just look at that chapter. Everything, I'm going to be pushing believers to that. And again, subnormal Christianity kind of by example of a lack of leadership, by the lack of pastors and leaders that are not soul winners, that are not prayer warriors, that can't do deliverance, that there's no expectation of healing, no expectation of great intervention by God himself. You know what I've got to see over these years, Coach? Maybe we should do a conference. We'll just tell stories, and that's the book of Acts, stories of the multiple peoples that have gotten saved, people that have actually gotten really biblically healed. Let's get rid of the counterfeit, rebuke it. Let's get rid of the fleshly junk where people try to manufacture stuff. Get rid of all that. Come back to Jesus himself. Come back to the training biblically. It's really quite simple. And look at the book of Acts, which is a tremendous example to us. Acts chapter 4, they raised their voices together to God in prayer. They prayed and prayed and quoted scripture. And right in the sanctuary, God's power came, not so much of that power that the building itself shook. Would to God we would see churches.
Russ, you mean the book of Acts just isn't biblical fables, just stories? This is actually a quasi-historical account of what first century believers were actually doing. Is that right?
It is, to me, the field manual for the end of days. It is what we've seen. It's really the standard. I mean, it's the standard. Look at 11 times believers are filled with the Spirit of God. All of them became soul winners. All of them saw healing. All of them... In the context of spirit-filled, boots-on-the-ground individuals, they impacted thousands upon thousands, so much so, so powerful were they, no matter, even in the persecutions, that nobody could stop them. Acts 5:42, they never stopped doing it. You never seen revival prayed for in all the book of Acts for 30 years. They never prayed for revival. They didn't need it. They didn't need it. They were carriers of it. They carried the kingdom. When you look at Acts chapter 8 and this young Philip that is just a spirit-filled second-generation believer, he goes in the midst of the church being scattered, the church being persecuted, he goes right into the demonized city of Samaria, the demonized city of Samaria. That's what he goes into, almost like he's running in there. And he's going to attack the city by himself in the beginning of this. And so there's Simon, the high magus, the sorcerer, the people high and low are all, they're all committed and subjected to this demon sorcerer that's there, this magus that was there. And a magus is a big deal. A magus is a very powerful individual. They're real. If American if American Christianity doesn't repent of westernization, and stripping the word of God from the reality of heaven and hell, God is real, Satan is real, God's power is real, but Satan's powers are real also.
Satan's working through Fauci, folks. Satan works through Bill Gates. Folks, wake up and understand. So, Russ, before I open it up, and we'll take it wherever we go, why is the supernatural missing from the modern American church, Russ?
Well, two reasons, I think. And I look over, I've been on the field doing stuff for 40 years. That includes 30 years in a local church. So actually over 40 years now. So I'm on the, we're doing it. And, I'm doing it in multiple different ways in different organizations at different times. But it's the same Jesus, the same mission, the same power, the same work. Again, Mark 16:20, Jesus is right there with us on the field, operating and working in the midst of us. He promised, did he not promise? I am with you always to the end of the age.
Yep.
So the problem is, as we've seen from the late 1950s until this very day, as darkness has ascended, the church has went silent. There's a corresponding, as darkness has grown, the church has become silent, more and more silent, quiet, subjected.
Put a bushel basket over that light, didn't we, Russ? We put a bushel over it.
100%. And that is our fault. We should never allow darkness to dictate who we are. We should never allow darkness to dictate our mission. We should never allow darkness to tell us what God can and can't. You've got believers now that are so silent, so inexperienced. They don't know the word of God well, and they don't know the power of God. Wow. That's what Jesus said to the religious people. You don't know the word of God, and you don't know the power of God. Believers should know the word of God. They should know the power of God in a powerful, joyful relationship with a living Savior. He's alive today. He's here. He's right here inside this little body.
Okay, Russ, one more thing before I open it up. Rochelle, Clay, and then Reggie, get ready. Hey, Russ, do you ever get scared?
And that comes from the truth of the word. But when you live that word and you see the power of God decimate, you know, the demons, even the name Jesus, they shudder.
They tremble.
You're talking supernatural beings. The problem is the lost world has the problem. They're so vulnerable to the masquerade, the demonic world. Biblically, Satan can masquerade. That is, he's an evil, probably very gnarly looking thing, but he can transfigure. The Greek word metaskizmazutai, remember? He can change. He just completely changed. He can look like an angel of light. So the New Age movement, a billion people worldwide. And so, all those different, movements and in cults and groups, but they all have one source. And the closer we get to the end, we're going to see that all of them are antichrist against the real Jesus. We're going to see them, more and more joining together, like this administration we're in right now. It is the most antichrist, spiritually speaking, the most antichrist system we've ever seen.
Russ, go ahead. I want to interrupt. It's what I do for a living. Go ahead.
That's good. I just want to tell you this. The church is so subnormal that it doesn't know how to pray concerning the political powers. And here's why I'm saying that. In First Timothy chapter 2, the Spirit of God says to the church, I urge you, big urgency, first of all, priority, put up massive prayer, supplication, intercession, general prayer, specific prayer for all the folks and for those in authority. And then look at the context. It's all about salvation. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So let me ask you, when have you heard the local churches praying, not just a general little blessing on the local leadership or whatever else, but I'm telling you that right now we need to have 50 million believers, if not 10 million believers. 50 million believers that can't do anything don't mean anything. I don't get a mega church down the street here that has 10,000 members and 95% of them can't win a soul. 98% of them couldn't deal with deliverance. what good is that? Amen. What good is that in the nation that we live in? But what if we have hundreds of thousands of powerful Coach Daves on the field that know how to say to Biden and the rest of them, we're praying that you repent now of these things, these atrocities you're engaging, or may God remove you.
So, Ross, I just saw, as you were speaking, folks, I promise I'm going to get you in here. I just saw this, Russ. The Holy Spirit, as you were speaking, the Holy Spirit is a high energy weapon. We've all seen videos, haven't we, folks, of these new machines that the police departments have where they bring these great big discs out there and they turn on this power and it knocks people down. You know what I'm talking about, right, Russ? We've all seen those. We've seen high energy weapons create storms and control weather, right? Russ, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's the name of Jesus. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's more real than these high energy weapons that man have come up with.
You know, the wicked queen of Scotland feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. A political power feared the prayers of little John Knox, the reformer, more than an invading army. I think it's very important for us to realize the book of Acts, again, a field manual for right now. It should show us how to live this out. When the church was praying to God, did God intervene? When Peter was in prison, did God intervene when Paul and Silas was in prison? When King Herod stood up and was taking all the praise to be a god, he was gonna be a persecutor of the church. Did God deal with him? Yes. Did God remove him? Did God send one singular angel to touch him? Western dumbed down Christianity say, "Oh, God doesn't do that kind of stuff today." That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. Jesus is the same today. Does God intervene in political powers? Does the scripture teach that he can bring them down and raise them up? Yes. And so I'm going to say publicly, I've said it on the radio, I'm going to say it in any conference, I don't care where I get kicked out, that we're calling for Mr. Biden, we're calling for Kamala, we're calling for Pelosi specifically, and Schumer. You need to repent now, they need to repent right now, or may God Almighty, in a demonstrative way, remove them. This is an atrocity. One child chopped up in the womb, cut the heads off. Why they have a passion for slaughtering these babies? They're going to be the number one promoters of not only pot but mushrooms and drugs that open door to the demonic realm. They're going to be the number one promoters of gender perversion and twisting.
Yes,
we've got a political power that is guided by the decadence of dark spirits, and Jesus predicted this.
So Russ, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism. It's high energy weapons on the left, isn't it? That's really all we're dealing with.
It really is.
They're getting their power from it.
Right. And you got to realize how many people are drawn into it because, again, the fallen world, you're lost. That's me when I was lost. Why did I get into Buddhism? Why did I go to a temple? Why did I go try to get the ascended masters to come to me? Why did I do drugs? And why was I an acid head? Why did I go get in fights at bars and drink so much beer? You know, why did I do all that? I was a stupid lost sinner.
Yeah.
And when I heard the gospel, I wasn't raised in church. When I heard the gospel just level, I was leveled one day by a man coming in, an ex-drug seller. He made the drugs we bought. And he came in and just preached the gospel and unleashed that on me. I was so convicted. I didn't know the Spirit of God was coming to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. I didn't know that. I just knew that I was convicted, that I was filled with shame and guilt and all the ugliness and all I could think about Jesus. That night in 1975, I got off my bed, not in a church, off my bed in that same basement party room where there were still hits of acid in the orange carpet, shag carpet of that day. I got saved there. I had God saved me, filled me with power. And from that day, I launched out. If you know how to get saved, you know how to tell other people to get saved. That's the central issue right there.
That's the
central issue. And as a believer, if we're equipped in everything, Western Christianity must repent of the, we can go into the whole issue of demythologizing theologians and all the stuff that helped lead to this. But I'm going to say that dark side, do we not realize that dark side is warring against the church? Do we not realize 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we're to be sober-minded, alert, gregoruo, alert, because why? Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around seeking someone to devour. The Greek word, to swallow is whole, to devour believers. Why did Jesus say, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, and what the Greek would say, what's coming out of the gates of hell, that cannot prevail against the astounding power, the powerhouse of the body of Christ.
All right, Russ, listen, we got them lined up, and we only got 20 minutes. Hey, listen, folks, now when you come in here, no long stories, no long testimonies about, we would love to hear your testimony, but right now, let's fly through as many of these questions as we can. Rochelle, Clay, and then Reggie. Go, Rochelle. Go, Rochelle.
Sorry, my microphone.
That's okay. All right, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Okay, so I think we all have spiritual issues without Jesus, and amen to everything you said. Regarding the powers of darkness that rule the world, I read in Enoch, the Book of the Watchers, that 10% of the demons were locked away for 70 generations, which brought us up right to the beginning of the 1900s. Do you think this is why we are seeing this so prevalent now, that they were released along with this industrial revolution?
Great question, Rochelle. My goodness, what a question. What do you think, Russ?
Well, I think the scriptures, which I've read Enoch, and it's the prophecy of Enoch. It's, you know, it's very good. But scripture, again, the Spirit of God gives scripture. Prophecy is the intel that God gives. There's no one that can do this better. The Spirit of God says, this is what the dark side is. This is what the dark side is doing. This is their methods. This is their ultimate. I could ask right now, who knows the ultimate agenda of Satan, Antichrist, the rest of it? Who knows the ultimate agenda? 99% is going to say something different. They don't even know the agenda. So if we don't even know this, so I agree with you that yes, as we read in scripture, prophetic insight tells us more demons will be operative, manifesting, engaging the world than ever in collective history. More satanic counterfeits, workings. There's no end of the world without this, because they're the ones driving it. They're the ones guiding it. So it is in multiple layers. There's possession, there's oppression, there's attachment, there's attack, there's principalities and powers over cities and places. There is the agenda to build the troops of Antichrist, let alone how do they bring the Antichrist into that process? How do they birth him? Who's behind that? Where are they?
And Russ, we have the power over all that stuff, don't we?
No question about that.
Clay, come on in, Clay. I got to keep it moving here, Russ. Then okay. Reggie after Clay. Get ready. Russ. You're ready to unmute. Go ahead, Clay.
Russ, I love your work. I'm driving, so I'm going back from memory. Mark 16:9 says he rose on the first day of the week. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene, of whom he cast out seven demons from. Mm-hmm. So I got three little softball questions for you. One is, seven demons a lot for one person to have?
Oh, good question.
Number two is, what would be an indicator to let us know if we have a demon inside us?
Wow.
And number three is, do you think the average person encounters people with demons in their daily life?
Great question, Clay. Go, Ray.
Great. Number one, everybody we've ever dealt with who were demonized had more than one. Some have had hundreds. In satanic ritual abuse, you're going to find hundreds, and usually a head demon, in which you go after the head demon to get rid of all of it. Either way, look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We are legion, for we are many. Okay, so normally there's going to be more than one demon.
Russ, can the same demon go into more than one person?
Separately, they're spatial. I mean, they can be in one, but they can't be in another.
Okay, gotcha.
So
okay.
They got to go to another one, right? And so as far as us, we as believers in Jesus, I don't believe we can be possessed in the same way a non-believer can be possessed. We can be attacked. We can, if we get into the flesh and sin and anger, we can give the devil a foothold in which we call that an attachment. He gets into an area of our lives that we need to repent of and rebuke the enemy. Otherwise, he holds us into a deep stronghold that seems like an addiction, whether that's anger, whether that's lust, or whatever else. As far as anybody seeing demons in others, most of the time, when it comes to really possessed individuals, the manifestation of a demon speaking through, looking through the eyes, speaking through the mouth, that's possession. And that's observable. And many people run from it. I mean, even when we've seen, I've had big old bikers. I'm talking bikers. I'm a biker. I ride. I've seen when full-blown manifestation comes, I've seen them run right out the door. I didn't sign up for this. They're out the door. I've seen little grandmas that know the authority stand in the name of Jesus. And it is, you know, I have a mother-in-law that's 89 years old. She'll stand there and do a little Pentecostal dance and rebuke a demon and command it. She knows what she's doing, and she's just old style. She knows. So every one of us can. The fact is, I don't have any more authority than Coach does. I don't have any more authority than anybody else. I don't have any more, in a sense, Holy Spirit. God says he's going to clothe all of us with power, fill us with the Holy Spirit. That's the norm. That's the normal thing. Most believers don't even know whether they're filled with the Spirit of God.
You just know how to use your high-energy weapon, don't you, Russ? You just know how to use it.
Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's what God. That's the word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God pulling down strongholds and engaging this. They should be on the run, Coach.
They should be. Reggie, on the roach. Reggie, come in, then Craig, and then Timothy. Go ahead, Reg.
Thank you, Coach. Hi, Russ. Hi. I've been working in this area as well for many years from experience. And one of the things that I run into constantly is I have people, they're curious. They want to work. God's calling them. But when you start teaching them, they don't understand. It's like, you were touching on it and you didn't finish. So I wanted you to go back to it. I try to explain right away what we're dealing with, what the agenda is. They're not understanding the level of the agenda, what this agenda is. And if they can grasp it, and then they understand the authority that they hold with Christ within them, they'll start to understand and accept what I tell them about portals, about all, because they go, this is crazy. They don't want to believe it. So therefore it renders them useless in the warfare state.
Sure. Great question, Reggie. Go, Russ.
And again, I think for many, many believers, you know why it's new to believers? For 40 years, I'm going to be honest. There's so many pastors that don't know. Pastors can only give you what they know.
Amen.
And what they're experiencing. If they're not prayer warriors, soul winners, if they can't do deliverance, if they don't pray for healing, if they're not into all that, they're not going to lead any local church to do it. That's why tens of thousands of believers have gone other places to learn. So I'm going to say, yes, what has to happen is there's got to be a deep understanding. The Word of God teaches the origin of Satan and demons and fallen angels. It teaches the methodology. It teaches what they do. It teaches possession, the Greek word diamonizoid, possession, attachment. It teaches everything we're talking about. It teaches the battle is not against flesh and blood. It teaches that in the end of days, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Satan's going to bring about the Antichrist, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles. I bet you most everybody here today has never heard a sermon on the troops of Antichrist. That Antichrist has to build the largest demonized, altered, militaristic system in human history. That's on the way. Look at Armageddon, Revelation 19:19. I bet you most believers here today, like you know, Coach, when I've done 120 conferences, thousands and thousands of believers, prophecy conferences, and I ask the question, how many here know the content of the Red Horse prophecy in Revelation 6? How many? Zero. That's biblical illiteracy when it comes down to these major things. You know what the Red Horse prophecy is? All of a sudden, there is a release of individuals, the Greek word svazo, they begin to slot on a globe. You want to talk about the chaos before a new world order? It's right there in Revelation 6. It's more devastating. It's broader. It's bigger than anybody can calculate on their own. We have no idea that hundreds of millions will die. And this is all a movement towards the release of the Antichrist, the opening of all this towards the very end. Let me just say quickly, Armageddon is the ultimate end game. They have to get there. Everything that we're experiencing in the acceleration of the demonic presence, the working more, there are more people that know how to summon demons today than ever in collective history.
Wow. There's more that know how to summon and few that know how to get rid of them. Right, Russ?
Very few. More and more. Praise God. There's more and more. Praise God for this right here, Coach. Yeah. You're doing the right thing. This is the right thing. We're not going to teach anything abnormal. We're going to teach normal, biblical, spirit-filled, you know, Christianity the way it should be and the way it can be. And I'm going to tell you again, you'll be more excited about who Jesus is. You'll know the peace like a river. You're going to know the power of God. You're going to see God at work. You're going to experience Mark 16:20.
For $100, folks, April 24th and 25th. Craig, come on in, then Timothy, then Jim.
Yeah, because it just kind of goes along with what you're at, Russ. and I'm asking about demons in the sense of time. I want to read the three verses where it talks about this, where Jesus encounters these. In Matthew 8:29, it says, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time?" So once do they have a sense of time. In Mark, I believe these are three different encounters, by the way, too. In Mark, it says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" Which is interesting. They call him a different name. God, implore you, are you that do not torment me. And then in Luke 4, it says, "Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit, an unclean spirit, and he cried out to the Lord, the voice saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" Again, they called him three names, but by identifying by three different means. Mm-hmm. "Did you come to destroy us? And I know you're the Holy One of God." What I'm asking is, are we at that crescendo in time of big manifestation that you're referring to in your opinion?
Great question, Craig. Russ?
Are we at the time of a bigger manifestation of all these demons? Is that what you're saying?
Crescendo. In other words, are we at that revelation moment that you are referring to?
I believe we've been in the frog in the kettle approach in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I believe the 80s and 90s, a massive burgeoning. I believe in the last 20 years, an exponential growth. It's as if think in terms of the dark side as Hoover Dam. It's cracking. The water's coming over. Pretty soon, it's no longer a slow, incremental, not even a burgeoning push. Pretty soon, it's going to be an absolute. Nobody's going to have to say, "Is this the Red Horse event? Is this the, you know?" It's going to be. You think this little pandemic right here is something? And again, I believe the dark side helped design this whole issue. I believe it wasn't a bat that spit on some person eating rice in a back room. I believe this was designed, and yes. I believe there's more pestilence to come. And here's a principle: deception always leads to destruction. Look at the Garden of Eden. We didn't evolve, we devolved. We didn't gain godhood, we gained Satan-like, satanic sin nature, and death came inside. So when we talk about all the devastating effects of sin and Satan, then we have Jesus, the hero of humanity, God in human flesh. Yes, a second ago, the demons know. They not only know Jesus and everything about him, they really do. The fallen ones really know who he is and all the aspects of him. They are, I'm being very frank, in dealing with possession, demons are terrified. They are, that's why they go out screaming. That's why they go out screaming and yelling. They are absolutely blown away. You know, that when we as believers come with that authority, Jesus said to tread, the idea of ripping them apart in a sense. We're coming to bring authority that brings an actual, it's almost like it's a hammering coming down on them, and they must leave. They must obey. They must.
Russ, I want to learn to use that high energy weapon. Timothy, come on in. Then Jim.
Hey, Coach, could I just ask one more question?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this is something I brought up. We're coming up to the 2000th anniversary of the crucifixion. In 2028 will be 2000 years since Jesus began his ministry. Do you think those dates have anything to do? Because we have UN Agenda 2030. We have Agenda 21. We have all this New World Order stuff needs to get in place by 2030. This, you know, the sun, 2030, the solar cycle. Does that have a big impact in time?
You're too smart, Craig.
You got to understand that it's all orchestrated. You got to understand that side. Everything is orchestrated to move this way. Revelation 12, Satan and his, you know, his collective, the fallen ones, they're after the sum total of humanity. They want the sum total. They've got to come up with a way to bring such massive chaos and collapse, to bring in a new order that is going to subjugate everything. So it's bigger than it. Jesus said it's unprecedented. Jesus, Matthew 24, it's unprecedented. What we're seeing right now and what's going to happen. I mean, right now we're in sorrows. I believe we're right now in the time of sorrows, Odin, turbulence, pain, confusion in the world. Jesus said the times of sorrows, this isn't the end. It's the beginning of the end. Wow. This is only the taste, maybe even like the warning, get prepared more than ever. Will we make it to 2028?
Who knows? Let's get some more in here. Timothy, come on in, then Jim, then Myra.
Good morning, Brother Coach and Brother Russ. It's good to be online with you, mighty men of God. I have a question. First of all, I think it's great that you have this deliverance ministry that you got to be opening up for training. I believe everybody needs to walk through that. It helps you out so tremendously when you understand the enemy and how you can approach him and how much power you have through the authority of Jesus Christ that gives Amen. You the power. My question is, when anointing is so strong sometimes in churches and you see the oppression on some of the people that are at church, do you see often the depressed hide, you know, the demons hiding in the oppressed people sometimes?
Great question,
because
Tim.
I've seen them fall out and don't even want to be ministered to just to try to hide from the anointing.
Amen. Go ahead, Russ.
Well, remember, the demons see we believers, like, again, seven sons of Sheba. The demon said, you know, Paul, we know. I mean, Jesus, I know, and Paul, we know. They know us. I believe they see the Spirit of God. I believe they know exactly who we are. And when you walk in the room, if somehow a person carries a demon into the church because it's in them or on them, they walk into it, most likely, if that church is lit up and knows what they're doing, that spirit might want to hide and be suppressed or make the person sick and get them out of that sanctuary. Hmm. They don't want to be revealed more than anything else. You know what I've done in services before when I was a local pastor? In the invitation time for salvation, healing, filled with the Spirit, prayer, whatever. Ours was open to everything, and God just worked in so many ways. But there's times we'd say, we would be writing the invitation, in the name of Jesus, if there's any demonic presence on somebody or in somebody that's come in today, we're commanding you to be manifest and come forward. You know, come forward without any harm. And I'm going to tell you right now, we've had to deal with that. You know, one time, I'll tell you one time, and one of the guys that dealt with this is coming with us, you know, when we come there, you know, in 2 weeks. Out of this lady's mouth all the way in the back, a demon spoke out yelling, you cannot have her. So we just said, in the name of Jesus, you come forward. And so you got a church going on. They're singing the invitation song. People are praying and other things. Here comes a woman all the way up. Pastor Jean goes down to engage. This demon is manifesting now through her face and everything. He rebukes it, commands it, expels it. The Greek words ek or ekbalo, expelling it. And it was over. It was over just like that. Hmm. And that's how quickly. Now, in complex cases, you know, in SRA, we'll talk about there's a little more complexity there, but nevertheless,
high energy weapons, Russ. I got to move. Jim, come on in. Thanks, Timothy. Jim, come on in. And Myra.
So Coach asked it in the beginning, if there is a person in the huddle that may have been a victim of SRA, but there's no memory or repressed memory, how would a person even find that out? And would they want to find it out?
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to. It's kind of like it's the idea that all of that stuff that is inside, you got to remember it. You're seeing a part of that person. Pretty much, I can guarantee you, other parts of them are acting out during the week, other places, and whatever else. There might be coven loyal that take them back to the. So there's things that are ongoing. Why would we leave damaged human personality and demons just sit there in a person? So one is praying for the Spirit of God to begin to bring exposure, to help them see. And if they're really SRA, everything's going to start coming up. And, you know, it's just like beach balls that have been pushed way down, everything, personality issues. Mm. It's all going to start coming out.
Expel the demons and heal, but
expel the demons and bring healing to the personality side. To heal the brokenhearted.
Myra, quickly.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? Thank you, Coach. Awesome. Ross. My question is, what is your opinion about America? What is going to happen with us? And secondly, whenever you cast out the demon, can the demon jump into somebody else?
Ooh, good question, Myra.
Thank you.
Well, the second question first. When you order them to go out, think in terms of you're throwing them on the other side of the fence again. in order to get into somebody else, there has to be a gateway, a doorway, a right. They can't just jump automatically. And so when I'm dealing with it and there's a crowd around, we'll also come in and order them, you know, come out of the person, get away, don't return, and don't touch anybody in the room. So again, you're ordering them. You have the authority to order them specifically. Wow. So be very clear about it. Order them out. As far as America, right now, there's one of two things that can happen. I'm going to tell you right now, as much as I see darkness and evil and radical evil and deeper than all the stuff that I see, I'm a believer that is not going to allow darkness to tell me what God's passion is and what God's will is. I believe greater revivals than ever in history can still occur.
Amen.
I believe that hundreds of millions worldwide can be saved. So when the church becomes the spirit-filled, powerful, soul-winning, bold as a lion, you know, body of Christ that it should be, can't 50 million believers in America lead two or three people to Jesus each? Can't we pray with massive power against when we see churches praying against the demons behind the drug scourge, abortion, human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse, when we're praying massively, but most likely in our local cities, 200 churches aren't doing this at all. And that's our failure.
High energy weaponry, folks. April 23rd and 24th. Don't miss it. High energy weapons, April 23rd, 24th, CoachDaveLive.com. It'll be Russ. It'll be Tom Dunn. It'll be their entire team there specifically to train you how to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Take authority over darkness. God bless you, Russ. Thanks for being with us. Folks, we'll be here tomorrow. Mark Trump's going to ride herd. I'll see you first thing Monday morning. God bless you. We'll see you. Yeah.